Hi, this is Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and this is another episode of The Tingle Zone. A few weeks ago, I ran a webinar entitled How to Survive the Financial Crisis with the guy who wrote the book on it. If you've not listened to that, then just go to my website, businessenjoyment.com. A pop-up should arise, and it'll allow you to download the recording for free. But in that webinar, I gave a number of tips and suggestions that people should employ over the next few months to make sure that they come out of this situation intact. And a lot of those things involved paying close attention to your numbers, acting quickly, and adjusting to the environment. The person I'm speaking to today, Mark Harris from Utility Warehouse, has done exactly those things. I was chatting to him shortly afterwards, and he told me what he had done once he heard that Boris Johnson was going to put us into lockdown. And the speed with which he acted was quite remarkable, and I thought his story was a really useful one to get out to you, and I hope, and there's a load more learnings in his story behind that as well. So sit back, relax, pick out what learnings you can from this podcast, and most of all, enjoy.
My name's Mark Harris. I've got a background in IT. I used to run my own IT company, but I am now predominantly Utility Warehouse, and I run Holiday Lets as well with my wife, Daisy.
So are you still involved with this IT company, or is that?
No, I closed that down 11 years ago.
Okay. So what led to the closing down that company and moving into...
Into Utility Warehouse, into UW, yeah. Well, effectively, I was one of these people that when I was told when I was younger, you know, you can have anything you want in life, providing you're willing to work hard enough. So I left school. I didn't do great at school, in all honesty. But when I got out into the real world and into a work environment, I realized actually working hard seemed to get you places. So that's what I did. And I actually ended up setting my own company up at 21. I'd had a pretty good job before that as well. Set my own company up at 21. Built that business for a few years, and I worked hard, in all honesty. Quite often, well over 80 hours a week, most of the time. I got staff and offices, and the more I worked, the bigger we got, so the more people we took on, the more I had to work, which was sort of seemed like a backwards way, but that's the way it worked out. I'd get into the office early in the morning, trying to get a load of work started around 5:30, 6 o'clock. The guys had arrived at 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'd spend the entire day with them doing the work. And then when they left at around about 5:30, then I'd start my day's work that I never got done while they were in the office. So I'd be leaving, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and probably doing that 6-7 days a week.
Wow. So, how long did that last for?
It lasted right up until the point that it didn't, for want of a better phrase. Unfortunately, I got quite ill. I spent 4 months in and out of hospital. I won't go into the details, but and then after that, I was having to be back every week for scans and x-rays and blood tests and all sorts of stuff. It was a whole host of things, but effectively, it was caused and made worse by the... Was it stress? I think it was just the sheer toll of what I was putting my body through, rather than the mental side of it. I was more not giving myself time to recover from things and just going back to work. And, you know, the consultants would be going, right, we want you to think about going back to work part-time. And they could tell instantly by the look on my face, I've been working 80 hours a week from the moment I was released out of hospital. And I got to a point, and I kid you not, the consultant said to me, Mark, if you do not change what you are doing, you will not be here in a couple of years. And that was quite a sobering moment, because I'd had a horrible time in hospital. I was in there over Christmas and New Year, which out of all the times of the year to be in isn't great. And I probably did have my own pity party while I was in hospital. And one of the realizations that I came to while I was in there, Andrew, was if everything I have ever done and ever thought has led me to this point, so if I'm happy with it, it's all my fault. And I'm currently lying in a hospital bed, not knowing 100% if I'm going to be getting out of it. And that was quite hard to take, but it allowed me to stop and think. And when I came out of hospital on the 1st of January 2007, I checked my business bank account. And the joys that hit me at that point were quite frightening, really. I'd lost tens of thousands of pounds. We had to pay all the office staff and things that you do without the without any new income coming in, really, because I'd signed no new contracts. So I still had to pay the staff and the office expenditure. And that was quite scary. I was in an overdraft. I'd never agreed with banks. And I had to make sure I sort of survived. Otherwise, I'd lost my house and everything. And then I checked my personal bank account, and this utility thing, as I called it back then, had given me a pay rise, and it was a whopping £7.50. And I looked, that's exactly, woohoo. But one had got, and this was the, this is, I guess, through what I'd been through in hospital, I started to just be really rational about everything, take the emotion out of it. And I just stopped and looked at it and went, right, I've got two businesses here. I've been running a telecoms company, an IT company, and a home PC support business, right? So there's three different ones sort of in one. I've now got this UW thing that I've been doing, and those other businesses have cost me money. I have lost a fortune, and the other one's gone up. Now, I don't know, you know, in the simplest way to put it, there was a big gap between that £7.50 up and the tens of thousands of pounds down. I went, there is something in this. I don't know what it is, but I've got to find out. And that was how I started my journey. You know, I hadn't done very much, but it was then a case of, right, well, what can I do? And it took me 26 months from that point, from the 1st of January when I came out of hospital, to go, right, I need to do something with this. This is the business I'm going to build. Now, I was still having to run my IT company, so I was building this part-time alongside everything else. But after 26 months, I was able to close that company, get my time back, get my life back, get 80 plus hours a week back, and start to enjoy myself. And, you know, to be honest, I have done. I've traveled a lot and had some great experiences and things like that. And because for me, life isn't about how much money you make. And I realized that where I was and what I'd been doing, this working hard thing, was to get the levels of success that everybody else would deem as successful, not what I would deem as successful. And I think that was one of my eye-opening moments, really, to go, well, what is success for me? And success for me is about freedom. It's about flexibility. It's about having time. And it's about earning enough to live the life that you want to live. Not, you know, not having to just be focused on work and how much money you can earn and stuff like that. It's about the life you want to live. So,
perfect. Can't argue with that at all. Thank you. And been running UW, and as you say, some properties alongside that as well, creating the life you want.
Yeah.
Where
Something
were
else
you?
We just sort of fell into.
As you do. Well, you were getting into all these different options and things, and your brain thinks in different ways. You hear what other people are doing, and you start realizing there's different ways of doing stuff and exploring things, don't you? But just set the scene where we were probably about a month ago.
Yeah.
And then what happened when sort of the coronavirus issues kicking, lockdown kicked in. What happened since in that, over that period?
Okay, so at that point, we were we had a couple of holiday lets that we had ourselves. That my wife runs that side of the business, really, and then we've got another seven that she looks after through a management company that we look after for other people. And business has been going great. We've really sort of thought about how we're going to do that business and make sure it fits our life and lifestyle, because that's what my UW business does for me. And after, as we sort of looked at this sort of coming year, we were on track for beating what we did last year, which was a hell of a lot better than the year before. And the properties were generating really, really good income. You know, probably, you know, I don't know if you want me to mention figures, but, you know, about £7,000 a month worth of turnover, which is more than 50% of that is profit. So a great, you know, great business, great things to have, all going brilliantly. And they're all based in the center of York. And one of the reasons that we decided to do it was York is the type of place that people visit all year round. So there's no reason. It will never drop. It will never fail. It'll, you know, people come to York all the time. Nothing ever stops that. and up until a month ago, that was the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all great. And then we had the harsh reality. You know, we were obviously living in a house. We then got two of the houses that we are assets that make us money, until they don't, and then they become liabilities, because, you know, no matter how good my UW money is, to be paying for three houses with all the bills and not everything else that goes with it, that's, you know, that's quite a substantial amount of money that we are, our overheads are every single month. And we looked at that and went, okay, what are we going to do? And before any of the sort of people working from home and all this stuff started, we just looked at what the cancellations were coming in and, you know, and what was happening. And we went, if this continues, we are potentially going to be in a real problem. But it could only last a month. It could last a few weeks. It could last 6 months. It could last 18 months. We don't know. So what are our options? And me and Daisy, and we've always been really, really good at this, we sat down and we looked at all of our options. So we just wrote all of the different ideas, and we were wild with them as well. You know, we could go back and live with parents. We could one of our family members has got a motorhome. You know, we'll go live in a motorhome. Let's go live in the motorhome for the next few months and cut our costs here and go and do that. We looked at moving into a property. We looked at moving into one of our studio apartments that we own. That was another one. Could we survive in that? Is there any way that would work for a short period of time? And you look at all your different options, no matter how wild and crazy they are, including just stay as you are and see what happens. But then when we wrote down this big list of all these different things, we then started writing down, right, okay, so what are the different scenarios? You know, what are the benefits of doing that? What are the challenges? And the biggest thing we started to realize was we have no idea. We are not in control of how long this lasts for. So we can't put ourselves in a situation or worry about the things we can't control. So what can we control? Well, we can control what our overheads are and how low we can make them. And that's what we decided to do. So we gave notice on our property. We said we were going to be moving out, and we gave ourselves a 2-week window to do that. That was the idea.
Your residential, you were renting.
We were renting. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. You know, luckily, touch wood, and this is another decision that we made, but, we decided to put our money into assets rather than into the home that we live in.
Where most people put all their money into a house that they live in, and therefore it's all tied up. You essentially freed that up to create more money to cover the cost of the renting.
Absolutely. To buy those places, to then allow us to buy another place and so on. That's exactly our plan. You know, because if anyone has ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the house you live in is not an asset. Please don't fall into the trap of thinking that. It is an overhead and a cost. It is not an asset. It's only an asset if it can make you money. And capital appreciation is not making you money because you can't access it now. So just think about that and bear that in mind. Anyway, I was going to get on a rant then, but I won't do that.
Yeah, just read the book. Read the book.
Read the book's the answer, definitely.
Listen to the podcast. Watch the TED Talk. I'm sure he's done a TED Talk. But
that's it. Yeah. Absolutely. Get on it. It's good. But no, so that's what we decided to do. So luckily, we were in that. We had that flexibility to be able to change and do that.
And I'm going to stop you there, because we had the same discussion the other day with my wife, sort of thing. Yeah. And it's that use of the word luckily. Yeah. Because my say, oh, you know, we're quite lucky about certain things. Like, now, hang on a sec. And it gets back to what you said when you're lying in the bed. Mm. Where you are now is a consequence of the choices you made in the past.
Yeah.
It's not luck. Okay, we don't know exactly what's going to happen when, but you had engineered things to be in this position through choice. Not knowing what was going to happen, obviously, but it's not luck that you're in this position. You'd actually allowed yourself to be there.
Yeah. Definitely. So,
and this is for people listening and that sort of stuff. But those words when we say, "Oh, aren't we lucky?" Well, actually, that's giving away responsibility and power to somebody else.
Yeah.
Again, in the same way that when we take the blame and go and become the victim and oh poor me and that kind of thing, it's taking the responsibility away. But actually, what everything you've done is about taking ownership of your own life and your own destiny.
Yeah, you know, it's our decisions. You know, we've decided to do things a certain way. So yeah, I think sometimes you do. It's a throwaway comment, isn't it? Oh well, luckily we were in that. You know, actually no, that was our decision to be in that situation. I think the lucky part was the we didn't know this was going to happen. You know, this wasn't part of the plan. You know, part of the plan was to not to use our money in another way. The lucky part was actually, with an unforeseen circumstance, the flexibility that we deliberately tried to give ourselves has actually really helped us in this situation. So we gave up that property, and we were going to move in a couple of weeks. And this was on the, we'd made that decision on the weekend. The Monday, Boris does a briefing at 8 p.m. And by 8:30, I realized we need to move now. not in a week's time, not in 2 weeks' time, not in a few days' time. It needed to be getting underway now. So Daisy went off to one of our houses that was empty, started cleaning it all and getting it ready for us. And I started packing everything that I possibly could while the kids were asleep. Well, I think it was probably about half two that we probably finished somewhere in that time. And we better get some sleep because the kids get up at about four. So we got some sleep in, and then we started once again packing while they were playing and doing various bits and pieces. And I was in a lucky situation again. There you go, look. one of my friends opposite has a large car, like I have quite a large car. And he just said, look, if you're going to do this, I admire that you've made a decision that you're going to make that happen now. I can't sit and watch you do it. I'm not working. You know, let's get on with it. So he gave me a hand, and we effectively emptied one house, put it all into storage, and then emptied our house and transferred it all over here where we are now. And yeah, we moved in the space of sort of 48 hours or so, and got everything ready, cleared, and out of the house, and gave the keys back to the landlady, all before Friday when all the police powers kicked in. So that was the I guess stressful in the sense that you're having to change a lot of things quite quickly. You know, but we had a lot of friends say to us at the beginning of that, you know, when you're discussing things and you're talking through stuff, you know, one of my friends said, just sit and wait. I reckon this is only going to last a few weeks. Just sit and wait. You'll be fine. Well, if we'd have sat and waited, we'd still be in that house now. And over a 3-month window, that was an extra £6,000 to £10,000 that would have cost us in rent and council tax and bills and stuff just for being in that house. Which is money that, you know, we don't just want to be losing. We've already lost over £7,000 a month in income from the properties. You know, sometimes you've just got to make decisions and cut your losses and get on with things straight away. And no matter what other people are telling you, sometimes you know deep down you get a feeling as to what's right. You know, we need to do this. And yeah, me and Daisy do make fast decisions, and people think we haven't thought about them. And what I like to say is, well, we have thought about them. We just haven't procrastinated over them and gone over them over and over and over again. Because most people do that, and the original thought and decision that they'd made, that they've rethought about for the next 6 weeks, was exactly, and when they end up actually taking action, it was exactly the same decision that they'd made in about 30 seconds after they'd assessed everything and what their gut feeling was.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've just got to get on and go and do it, because timing is crucial. So yeah, you've got to, you know, we've got to learn to adapt in these circumstances and these situations. And, you know, hats off to our company. They've been, UW have been phenomenal at it, you know, with online sign up processes and things like that. You know, they've got, in the space of 2 weeks, they've got 1,300 members of staff working in a central office to working from home in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That is about adapting. And the businesses that are going to succeed coming out of this are the ones that are going to adapt the best. The individuals that are going to do the best out of this are the ones that are going to adapt the best. You know, they're going to reinvent themselves in ways that, you know, people didn't even see coming. Things that might not have even been on the radar, things that they thought, well, I'd never do something like that, but actually it turns out being the best thing that they've ever done. Just like me with the UW stuff. Like, I never thought, you know, if you'd have asked me 15 years ago, would I be doing this? I'd have thought you were absolutely barking mad. But best decision I've ever made, you know. And what it's allowed us to do is, you know, we've moved into this house now. We can stay here for a few months, you know, while it's, and we'll just then move on when the timing's right to get back out there. And you know, where we can travel light if we need to. We're trying to simplify the amount of stuff that we've got. Although Daisy's seen the amount of Amazon deliveries I've had recently, and she's gone. And I just said, "Oh yeah, I need it for work. It's all technology stuff, you know, for making my home office more efficient." And she's like, "Yeah, whatever. You're just buying gadgets again, aren't you, Mark?"
We're all gonna have our pleasures.
We all have. I've got to be honest. I love a gadget. You know. I used to think I was into cars and stuff like that, and then I realised that was everybody else's thing. But I do love gadgets. Like, you know.
And just to be clear for anybody, how many kids you got?
Two kids, two boys, yeah, a two-year-old and a three-year-old. So try moving with a two-year-old and a three-year-old with not being able to have no help from family to come and look after them or anything like that, pack boxes, do all that stuff and shift it all on your own. Well, obviously, we had a friend as well, but, you know, it's not easy.
It's not easy, but it can be done, that's the thing.
Absolutely. And you know, there's going to be people listening to this that are going to be thinking about, yeah, well, I've got some decisions to make that aren't going to be easy. Yeah, that's the way it is. And I genuinely believe that anything that you do in life, you have to pay a price for it. You know, for it to be worthwhile, there has to be a price to be paid, whether that's in the work that you put in, whether that's in what it financially costs you, or the emotional input that you've got to put into it to make it work. There has to be a cost. That's what makes it worthwhile. It has to be worth something. So there's a cost involved. And I get people come to me, you know, through my UW business, Andrew, and they say, "I've been doing this, and I'm finding this really hard." And my answer is good. You know, I'm pleased you're finding it hard. That means it's going to be worth something. It's worthwhile. If it was just easy, you wouldn't give any value to it. All right, you've got to learn how to, you've got to learn how to do new things and do things differently. It is that things are sometimes supposed to be hard in life. We can't grow without a challenge. You know, that's what we've got to be doing. So,
yeah. It's just getting that tipping point, isn't it? Because sometimes at the other end of the extreme, there's that point where you do have to sort of step back. Like, you know, with your IT company, it's a point where, it's hard and it's having an impact. And there's that point where you realize, okay, now's the time to actually go in a different route. The thing is not to be scared of that challenge, not to be scared of that input, that effort, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's sort of in a way, you know, I believe all the challenges that I've had in my life have made me a far better, stronger, clearer focused person, because I haven't got I don't listen to all the waffle that goes on around your head and in your head to some extent. What is it I'm trying to achieve? Where am I going? So I've become very sort of goal directed and focused from that point of view. And unfortunately, most of the people that I meet that are like that, they've all had to go through some form of a trauma or a dilemma. The one person I do know that isn't like that, she's never had a major. She hasn't had to go through that yet. She still thinks the same way that I do. You know, we make decisions brilliantly in that in times where other people would be unbelievably stressed with their partners and struggling potentially relationship wise because of the pressure being put on it. It's almost like we thrive because we pull together, we focus on where we're going, and we just nail it and we just make it happen. And it's good to be in that situation environment. But yeah, she's one of the only people that I know who hasn't had to go through that. She's done it all through personal development rather than trauma to then go through personal development and then make the change.
Well, she's not here to argue the case. And just for the record, by the way, the signal broke out at that point as well when he said who it was. But it was your wife, Daisy, you were talking about.
It was my wife, Daisy.
What set her down the path of self-development? There will be
her
some
family, her parents.
She was already trained up in that way.
Her parents got into personal development probably 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And started doing lots of it. Her dad, her dad used to fly all over the world. He ran a textiles machinery business. Used to be all based in the UK, and then M&S shipped everything overseas. So then he had to go overseas to do that. And he realized by the time Daisy was about 15 that he'd literally spent all of his life running that business for his ego, not for his family, like he was telling himself he was. And at that point, everything changed. He closed that, he wound that company up, closed it down. I'm just not getting on another plane again unless it's going to be for fun. And from that moment, that experience from sort of 15 years old now, and Daisy's the eldest of three, from 15 years old, she's had that input of personal development. You know, she's done the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within. She's even crewed at Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within and stuff like that, you know, a few times. She's been involved, you know, she's always been reading books. She's read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. She's been in a constant environment of self-development. You know, we talk about nature, nurture and the impact that has, but she's really been nurtured in that environment. And you look at the impact that that's had on her, you know, for me personally, I look at her and I'm one for one, very proud to be with her, but two, you know, she's inspirational because nothing phases her. Like it doesn't seem to. I mean, obviously things do at times, but she's always got a plan. She's clear. She just believes that things are going to work and she just doesn't look at the bad stuff. She just goes, look, this will come right. And you know, it's a wonderful place to be. And what we find is most of the time, if one of us is not in the right mindset, the other one brings them back and vice versa.
Yeah. Brilliant. And it just shows that how much is conditioning and societal, and, you know, if you society dictates how we bring everybody up and therefore it becomes a recurring situation. Everyone gets into this mindset and trap and all the rest of it might be, but it, you know, starting.
You broke up then, Andrew. I think you need to say that again.
Well, I'm recording at my end, so it probably works. Although I've got red bars this time, that's interesting. Red bars, yellow bars.
Oh yeah, I'm on yellow bars now.
So we think
it could be Zoom. It could be Zoom.
It's a bit of an overload on at the moment, but the impact of the society. So when society takes things to be a certain way and follows into that pattern of go to school, get a job, retire, die, you know, and don't get outside your means and all the rest of it. But when you're brought up in a different way, and that just becomes normal, you don't have to go through the trauma of adjusting that mindset, which needs to happen at some point through the process. And normally it requires something quite severe to shift your brain from where it has been brought up to be to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't advocate spending 4 months in and out of hospital and nearly dying twice to anybody as a means to change your thinking.
Yeah.
pick up some books, find a mentor and have a plan, goal set, be clear about where you want to go and just focus on that.
Yeah. And again, with what you did, you know, you, as I said in my webinars, if you listen to it, you knew your numbers. That was important. You knew exactly where you were. So you weren't making decisions based on, oh, it feels a bit wrong. It was absolutely crystal clear. Go this way, one thing. Go that way, another thing. And that's better than that. All right, we do that.
Absolutely. And in this sort of environment, you know, remove risk.
Yeah.
Remove risk. You know, there's plenty of things you can be doing if you think outside the box. Plenty of things you can be doing that are risk-free. So do those. You know, and we looked at this and just went, this is the least risky option, and all right, it's the hardest, it's physically the hardest one to do because we've got to shift everything, we've got to move the family, we've got to do all this stuff, but it's the least risky option. It's the one that no matter what happens, you know, if this goes on for 6 months, we'll just sit it out for 6 months. If it goes on for 2 months, we'll move in 2 months,
because you can reverse it like that. The only way to reverse it is a bit more hard work, but easy reverse.
That's it. A few days hard work and you're done, aren't you? You know, and we find it really fascinating how everyone says, you know, one of the most stressful things you can do is move house. It's really not. Nobody's died. No one, you know, you haven't lost anybody. It's, you know, you just get on with it. It's just about a plan. It's a process. You just do it. It's really not the most stressful thing you'll ever go through in your life. I wouldn't worry about it. I'd just get on with it. If you ever have to do something like that, it's not hard.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about the movie. I think they're talking about all the solicitors that get involved with the
mortgage. Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's where the stress comes, because that's out of your control.
Yeah, in that case, do what they do in Europe, rent. You don't have any of that.
Yeah. All right, well, whilst we've got some sound and vision, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much. So, really good. Thank you for that, Mark. There's some really great points in there that, you know, time and time again keep coming up. You know, you've just got to be aware of what's going on so you can adjust and flex quickly, make decisions fast. It's not a knee-jerk reaction, it's a considered decision, but it's done quickly.
Yeah.
And then just looking at ways Absolutely. How you can adjust and adapt to what's going on, because the environment's constantly shifting anyway. So we only survive by adjusting and adapt to it. So thanks, there are some really fantastic points there. Is there any final sort of message or keywords or anything you'd like to just wrap up with, just to sort of send out? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, put me on the spot. Now, I'll tell you, the one I think that's fitting at the moment is they say it's not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent. It's the most adaptable to change. And in this environment, for me, that is that is my final statement. Really, really think about that. What can you do to change and adapt and get used to change? Because what is happening right now is going to change the world forever. And if you think that you can sit at home and hope that everything is going to go back to the way it was, please change that thinking as quick as you can. You need to adapt, you need to change, you need to go and make a difference. Go and adapt for you and your family, and build the futures that you want.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Mark. If anybody needs to get in touch with you or find out what you do, or have you got a website, email address, anything, to blog post, anything like that going on?
Yeah. Head over to, if you want to get in touch with me, just head over to moremoney.biz. That's moremoney.biz. On there you can contact me through there. You can my blog will be going live, I think, today actually. On there I've got some stuff I've been sharing on goal setting and stuff like that, videos that I've been recording and stuff. So just trying to help people and try and make a difference. And if they want to talk about anything else that I do with UW and stuff, get in touch.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Mark. Stay safe and keep flexing.
Thank you very much.
These podcasts are not necessarily here to give you all the answers. I want you to think about what's been said, what's come up, and how you might apply that to your own situation. And if you've enjoyed it, then please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, share it on the social media platforms, and so more people get a chance to hear what's going on. Thanks very much for listening. My name's Andrew Miller from Business Enjoyment, and I want you to enjoy your business so much it makes your bits tingle.